If you'll turn to Psalm 116, a few weeks ago, I was thinking how tough life was, and I opened up my Bible, and I opened up to the middle of, I opened up to the part of the Psalms that I was reading through, and I came to one of the verses that we'll get to in just a little while in Psalm 116. And so from personal experience, I'm choosing this text for today. Here at the beginning, I'm just going to read the first two verses, and then we'll pray, and then I'll read through it as we go through the sermon today. Psalm 116, beginning with verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. Father, we thank you for your word. Write it upon our hearts, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as we think about this psalm in the context of an opportunity to take our needs to the Lord, to come before his throne of grace with confidence, to find grace and mercy in time of need, the psalmist in this case has been through it, and he's looking back. And the been through it and the looking back is what can help us in the present and give us hope for the future as well. So he starts with a summary, just to remind us where he's going to go. And he starts with the foundation of any time we need anything, just like the beginning of the Bible starts with, in the beginning God. So when we're given testimony, we start with him. And he starts with his affection. And it's a good reminder, because sometimes the Lord feels distant from us. I love the Lord. But there's a reason. It's okay. It's okay for us to have a reason. We should love the Lord, obviously, because he's the creator and we're the creature. But he loves him for a reason. He heard my voice. I cried out to him and he heard me. He heard my cry for mercy. What had happened to me and what I did? Verses 1 to 4 is going to be, what had happened to me? What I did next. Well, he's telling us here, I cried out for mercy. In fact, he uses graphic language now. He turned his ear to me. No, God's a spirit. But he's using human language to describe what he really experienced. The one true God. The God that made everything. He turned his ear to me. And so he says, I'll call on him as long as I live. And that's the name of the sermon today. I actually have two names. I had one name I sent in the bulletin, and I have another name on my notes. The name I sent for the bulletin. What can I do? Call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Now then he says, okay, let me go back now and tell you what I was dealing with. Verse 3, I'm just going to just keep your eye, you know, back and forth in the text. I'm going to move through it. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. So today, I don't know what we're each dealing with today. We always bring some unspoken request, I think, because we're human beings in a fallen world. But we also, I would invite you to think back, and you can think back throughout your life, or you can in particular think back maybe through the last year. It's sort of getting to the end of the year. It's a time to review and see if you can relate to the psalmist. We have here not someone just kind of walking through a minefield and dodging the mines. We have someone who is entangled, caught, and held. Sheol, that the place of the dead, darkness, the darkness of maybe sin in his life that he's facing the consequences of, maybe the sin of someone else. And we're facing their, what they've done is affecting us. In the Old Testament, in the poetry, death and Sheol, which are other names for this, of the grave. In fact, if you look at your text note, Sheol, it's clutching me. It wants to waste me away. Could be the devil. I was at the hospital yesterday on a Saturday shift from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. And I'll tell you more about that, but I had one little, it was a really busy day, and I had one little break where I read this little essay that Timothy George wrote about Martin Luther and the devil. And Martin Luther just talked about how the devil, at every turn, you know, how was after him, wanted him to feel despair, wanted him to feel despondent, wanted him to doubt, and that we have to resist him. You know, and Luther wrote about, we really only sing the one hymn usually, or really two of his hymns, but he deals with that in his hymns, that we have an enemy who wants us to doubt, who wants us to be in despair, who wants us to feel condemnation rather than hope. Could be that. It could be a desperate illness gets you down. Maybe an ongoing affliction. It could be an experience that wounded you. It could be way back in the past. Somebody treated you in a way that it wounded you. And you know what? Time doesn't heal wounds. Jesus heals wounds. Time doesn't. And so, the psalmist doesn't say for sure, but he gives us graphic pictures so that we can relate to him. Cords of death, anguish, trouble and sorrow. The beginning of the day yesterday, there was a 24-year-old with a young woman who with diabetes had a cardiac arrest, and they weren't able to revive her. So I was there with her brother and mother when they found out. Later in the day, a man who was already at the end of his life, and they were waiting for it to come. I met with his children. So I tried to minister God's, you know, truth in that. In the midst of this, I'll admit this is a little, brings a little levity to it. In the middle of that, there was a family, happened to mostly be, well, I'll tell you, I was in the hospital. Of course, I'm in the hospital on, football championship, conference championship day. So everybody kind of had the patients and families had on their emblems of their teams. And then, so there's this family. And again, another, a person, they know the Lord's time has come, but they're, let me just put it like this. There was a time in the day yesterday where, you know, the hospital, about 4:30, it felt a little more somber than usual, except for a few people with an AU kind of hidden on there. They were kind of smirking. It was a strange time to be at the hospital. In fact, I talked with a hospice nurse, and we kind of complained together about how this family was more worried about the game than about their family member. But okay, the psalmist was really in the pit. And we've all been there. We may be there now. What had happened to me and what did I do next? Well, verse 4, I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. That's what we do. We call on the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord reveals who he is. It's this time of year. Let's just use a few names for Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Will that minister to you today? You've got a Prince of Peace. You've got a Mighty God. You've got a Father. Even if your Father in this life forsakes you, you've got a Father in heaven who will never forsake you. You've got a Wonderful Counselor who can minister to you whatever your need today. He pauses and he says? You know that he takes a verse to say what God's like. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. Both parts. I'm going to say the second part first. Righteous. God's holy. God's righteous. God does things right. He's a judge. But thanks be to God, he's gracious. He has steadfast love. He's slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And in fact, he says he's full of compassion. Even when we don't have compassion, we have a God who has compassion. What God did for me and why it matters. He continues, what God did for him and why it matters. Let me read it. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Then he speaks to himself, be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. He's talking to himself rather than listening to himself. As the doctor, Martin Lloyd-Jones, would say. For you, O Lord, now he's praying again, you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I said, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay I said, all men are liars. We can't cover all this. But we can acknowledge some of it here for a few moments. The simple-hearted. I may think more highly of myself than I ought to sometimes, but at the end of the day, we're all just human beings, made in God's image, yet fallen, sinful. But God takes note of that. He protects the simple-hearted. We're all equal before the cross. And he's the one. And when we're in great need, who else do we have but him? He's very specific. And this is a psalm where he's been delivered. He felt like he might die like Job, but he's been delivered. He's had tears. And at least for the moment, the tears have been wiped away. One day Jesus will wipe them away for good. But sometimes we have to cry them. I had a few tears with that first family yesterday, the young woman who passed away. Oh, we can stumble around in this life, but God, thanks be to God, he'll grab hold of us and steady us so that we can walk before him, in fact, in the land of the living. We can say one more day, praise God. The psalmist isn't afraid to say, Lord, if you let me die, it's not that he doesn't believe in the afterlife, but sometimes he'll say, Lord, if you let me die, who's going to praise you? So he has one more day of praising God in the land of the living. And then in verse 10 and 11, it's an interesting part. We get a little deeper into his spirit. I believed. Therefore, now notice these two verses. I believed. Therefore, I said, I'm greatly afflicted. And in my dismay, I said, all men are liars. Here's what one writer says about that. Here's what he thinks he's saying here. In my moment of crisis, I discovered I was a believer. A real believer, not just a nominal churchgoer. And that faith I discovered enabled me to verbalize my distraught emotions, not just to myself, but to God. I told him exactly how I felt. In that situation, there was only one thing I could be with God, and that was honest, brutally honest. Maybe that's why he listened, for listen he did. I tell you that I never realized it was possible to feel so much devotion to God until that day I realized he paid attention to me, deliberately turning his ear to my prayer. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. You know, it's when he believes he can really say how deep his affliction was. You know, I really believed. I realized this isn't just a ritual, just isn't just something to do on Sunday morning. This is real. there's a real God and I have real pain. And I have to admit, commentators aren't quite sure what to do with verse 11. Here's what I think. In that same belief, he just acknowledged that, you know what? I can't rely on people. Now, we can't not, he's not making an over-encompassing statement, we never help each other. He's saying at the end of the day, I can trust God. That's who I can trust. And by God's grace, we encourage one another. But when you're diagnosing it theologically through faith, he says, you know what? I realized, just like David in Psalm 51, Lord, I've sinned against you. Against you alone have I sinned. So it is, I believed. I can't trust men and women, but I can trust God. I can trust him. So what will I do now? What will I do now? Well, that gets me to verse 12, the verse I read that day that I was feeling kind of bad about myself, and I opened up my Bible and I see this. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Now, then, isn't that the Christian life? Here I am, you know, taking this opportunity, taking a little bit of a risk that some of you are like me and don't feel a smile welling up every morning when you wake up. Maybe feel the difficulties of life, feel pain, look back. And yet, the Christian life is one that you can feel all that, but because we do believe, as verse 10 said, because there is a God, we can feel the pain of death and Sheol and this grip that the flesh and the world and the devil wants to have on us, and yet we can say at the same time, how can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? Because he's good. And he does bring us through every affliction in his way and in his timing. You have to be patient. And so he answers his own question. I'll lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. So this is the gospel right here. How can I repay God? I repay God not by giving him anything, but by receiving. That's the cup of salvation. Receiving. I repay God by saying, Lord, I have nothing to offer you, but you have everything to offer me. That's what we do. And then we continue with the same theme. He keeps coming back to it. I'll call on the name of the Lord. I'll call on the name of the Lord. Now, having acknowledged he's received salvation, having called on God's name, now he does commit himself to a new obedience. Verse 14, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord. Does that sound like a prayer we prayed together through our sermons the last 2 weeks? In the presence of all his people, he continues, and this is an interesting one here. I want to say something about precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. This is a psalm about deliverance from death, and I don't want to ruin a special verse for you. Back when I was right out of seminary, I really liked ruining special verses. I thought I was so smart that I had to have a new translation. But I really got over that, and I realized that was pretty dumb. But Derek Kidner does suggest another word can also be used for precious, which is the word costly. Costly in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Otherwise, God cares so much. Yes, it's precious. He receives us. Jesus said, where I go, you will be with me. Lord, I want them to be with me where I am. But at the same time, costly. It hurts. In fact, it hurts so much. And he loves us so much that to save us, he had to give his own son. It's just another word you can think of as you think of that verse. Not only precious in the sight, but even costly. In the sight. And so again, he acknowledges now, going on with his life from here on out, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm your servant. You freed me from my chains of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so I'm your servant now. I'm going to walk with you. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you. I'll call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people in the courts of the house of the Lord in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. What happened to me? The psalmist says, I was in the pit, but I called on the Lord, and he delivered me, because he's gracious. I'll receive his salvation. I'll walk with him. And so if you are lonely, if you're struggling with physical pain, God's with you. He'll give you his grace is sufficient for you. His power is made perfect in weakness. Today's a communion service, and this theme will continue now as we continue with the service. I do want us to pause now. And with these words of the psalmist and the exposition I've offered in mind, let's pray together. If you'll look back at your bulletin, corporate prayer for healing. Then I'll pause for a few moments for you to pray silently, and then we'll continue with a litany, a prayer of healing. So let's pray this together. Father, mend us and make us better than we could be without you. Take those things that are broken in our lives and visit us with your healing. And help us to use the strength we receive in your service to your glory. Let's pray silently now, just for a moment. God the Father, your will for your people is life and salvation. God the Son, you came that we might have life and might have it more abundantly.
We praise you and thank you, O Lord.
God the Holy Spirit, you make our bodies the temple of your presence.
We praise you and thank you, O Lord.
Holy Trinity, one God, in you we live and move and have our being. Lord, grant your healing grace to all who are sick, injured, or disabled, that they may be made whole.
Hear us, O Lord, the Lord.
Grant to all who seek your guidance, and to all who are lonely, anxious, or despondent, grant them knowledge of your will and an awareness of your presence. Mend broken relationships and restore those in emotional distress to soundness of mind and serenity of spirit. Bless physicians, nurses, and all others who minister to the suffering, granting them wisdom and skill, sympathy and patience. Grant to the dying peace and a holy death, and uphold by the grace and consolation of your Holy Spirit those who are bereaved.
Hear us, O Lord,
the Lord. Restore to wholeness whatever is broken by human sin in our lives, in our nation, and in the world.
Hear us,
O Lord, the Lord. You are the Lord who does wonders. With you, all things are possible. With you, O Lord, is the well of life.
And in your light we see life.
Hear us, O Lord of life.
Hear us and make us whole.
And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Jim Boyce says about this psalm, said about this psalm before he went to be with the Lord. Jesus and the 12 must have sung Psalm 116 at the Last Supper after Jesus had instituted the communion service with its cup of salvation. That cup represented the blood of Jesus, the cup of salvation that we lift up. That cup represented the blood of Jesus, which was poured out as an atonement for our sins. It speaks of giving all the way, 100%. Salvation comes from the Lord, Jonah 2:9. But it is also a cup that needs to be taken by us, which is what we symbolize by taking it at the Lord's Supper. It is a spiritual cup, and the way it is taken is by faith, by believing that Jesus is truly the Son of God and our Savior. And I would add, the one who drank the cup of God's wrath in our place, that we might receive the cup of salvation. Well, Jesus did take that the bread and the cup on the night in which he was betrayed. Having the last Passover he had with his apostles. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." I invite all those of you who have professed faith in Christ alone for your salvation and are in good standing with an evangelical church to receive the bread and the cup today. If you have not done this yet, I would ask that you be in prayer and let the elements pass you by. As well as if you are living in a particular sin that you won't repent of, let them pass you by. But if today is a day of repentance, repent and believe. "I believe," didn't the psalmist say? "I believe." And so we're going to, this is the Lord's table where Jesus comes to minister to us comfort and hope. Let us pray. We most humbly beseech thee, O merciful Father, to bless and sanctify with thy Holy Spirit both us and these thy gifts of bread and wine, that the bread which we break may be the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless, the communion of the blood of Christ. Amen. Receive the benediction. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen.